the handoff. He drives the lane. He takes it to the house. Bouncing off defenders. He just laid it in. He just put it up and in. 56 seconds to play. Oh, by the way.
It's time. Live. From the CG Technology Studio in the entertainment capital of the world.
Game 7 is over. It's an instant classic.
It's the TC Martin Show.
A three for the game.
Bang! Boom! That boy is special.
It's time to get your daily prescription from the doctor, TC Martin.
You gotta pinch me.
The doctor is now in.
All right, glad to have you here. It is a Monday. The madness is maddening. That's all I have to say. I love the March Madness. I really do. But it is maddening to the heart, to the brackets. Oh, my goodness. We'll be talking
about that today. What you're saying is you suck.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay. You know, and that's why I don't mind you saying that at the top, teasing about how terrible my bracket is, because I know that just about everyone's bracket is as bad as my bracket.
Yes, it is very likely that anyone who had Michigan State, Arizona, Villa, or Virginia going anywhere, North Carolina going anywhere, they're done.
Look at all these bullet holes I got in my bracket.
Oh my God.
It's not quite as bad as Charles Barkley's, but it's right there.
Yeah, you know what? I didn't even look at mine today. I have three brackets going, and I had Michigan State winning the national championship, one of them. I had North Carolina winning the national championship in the other. So
who are you talking about? Why don't you point the bullet at yourself?
Yes, but in one of them, I did have Reno in the Sweet 16.
Now, that I don't believe.
I will show
you. For two reasons. I'll tell you why. For two reasons, I don't believe that. Number one, you just called them by their proper name, which you never do.
Reno?
Yeah. It's always, what do you call them?
Well, no. They want the proper name to be
Nevada,
what they wear on the back of the jersey.
But you don't even say that, though.
No, Reno is
you
fair.
You call it the truck stop.
It is a truck stop.
So what did you do? Did you write the school up north or truck stop in
your
bracket
sheet? No, because I did it all computer generated. Okay. So I didn't write anything. I just clicked.
Right. But if you wanted to, that's what you would write.
Absolutely.
Okay, there you go. So I can't believe that you would pick that.
I have the truck stuff. They are in the Sweet 16, and you know what? I think they're going to go to the Elite Eight.
Wow. Talk about that school. A team that's played technically 85 minutes, because one game went into OT against Texas, right?
Yes.
They have trailed for anywhere, I'd say, let's be conservative and say 55, 56 minutes of play, they have been badly outplayed.
Well,
maybe even up to 60 minutes, they've been badly outplayed. Seriously.
They led for 9 seconds yesterday.
Right.
Their first lead of the game they took with 9.1 seconds to go.
The final 9 seconds.
Yes. And by the way, I cannot believe I was at Beer House following the Golden Knights victory over Calgary. I was at Beer House with Frank and Clayton and Ari, and we were watching the game, or, you know, they were doing the post game. I was watching and I was yelling and screaming that there was a travel on that last possession for Cincinnati. And I feel like I lose my UNLV card for saying this. I would have been very disappointed had that guy from Cincinnati made the basket to tie the game and Reno would have lost in overtime. Because it's not that I want them to win, but I would not want to see them lose because the referees blew a call, because that guy walked. I mean, there was no doubt about that. Listen, he took like 15 steps.
There are a variety of bad calls that took place specifically yesterday. And there's been some bad officiating. And I hate to be that guy who blames officials. But perfect example, you mentioned that game, but the Xavier Florida State game, J.P. McCura fouling out of that game. Three of the five of his fouls were not legitimate fouls. And I could even probably say four. He had this one reaching foul where he's agitating the ball at the point, steals the ball, got no part of the guard's body, hand, anything of that nature. Chris Mack was beside himself. And there was a couple other calls. So his calls on foul number three and four effectively took Xavier out of that game, took McCura out of that game. And without him, and the way he blew it, and the rest of those guys were playing yesterday, it was a travesty. And I would actually say that officials cost Xavier a chance at winning that game. But we got a lot to digest today. Matthew Holt will join us.
The worst
we'll
part
talk
about that
to him
is
about all this too.
Leonard Hamilton, who is a buffoon, is in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, again.
Now he's going to get, he will absolutely get taken to school by Mark Few.
Oh, I agree.
In Los Angeles, Gonzaga, I don't know what the line is. I would bet, you know, and Gonzaga in great shape now to go back to the Final Four. Although Texas A&M looked scary good yesterday. They played really well at the beginning of the season. They looked just as good as they did at the beginning of the season yesterday. That's a team, and I know someone who put a ticket on them at the beginning of the year to win the national championship. I think he got them at like 25-1. That ticket right now looks like it could be pretty good.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because I do think them and Gonzaga will win. As much as I like John Beilein, I think A&M is just too athletic. I think they're just going to be way too good.
Well, they have too much size.
That's it. Yeah, I mean, that's a good team.
When you have 3 7-footers, two of them that start, and one guy comes off the bench, I mean, they've got way too much size, and that's exactly how they won the game yesterday.
And what's worse is I think I had Providence in every bracket because I really liked the Friars. But, you know, A&M, they got by them by, what, 4 or 5 points, and now they're into the Sweet 16 after just absolutely pasting North Carolina.
I'm a big parity guy. I really am. I love the underdog. However, I'm just picking the wrong ones. it's true. And buzzer beaters are great. I love that. But I loved Loyola beating Miami and then turn around and beating Tennessee. I love Loyola. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Loyola.
Bob Newhart.
Almost went to school at Loyola. Almost could have played on that 85 championship, well, not championship team, but last time they made the tournament with Al Frederick and the Great Hughes. I just always had a soft spot for that university. Love that place. The Michigan buzzer beater over Houston, I loved because I do like Beilein. I love Wagner. And more importantly, I have Michigan going to the Final Four in my bracket. So they beat a very tough Houston team. But the stuff that drives me crazy, Virginia losing the way they did to Baltimore County, the Retrievers, just getting annihilated. The first score update that I saw in that game, because I was out and about Friday night, was 21-all at halftime.
That was the one that I saw.
And seriously, I had no problem laying 21 in that game. So think about that. You laid 21, you lost by 42 points. Think about that. When do you ever lose a wager by 42 points? Unless you're Auburn, of course, because that happened yesterday as well, too. That was the turnaround with that.
Geez.
But back to Virginia. So the first update, I'm out and about, I'm saying 21-all. Typical Virginia, low scoring. Okay, fine. They're going to outscore them probably 38-17 in the second half, you would think. And then about a half hour later, I check my update, and they're down 20. I said, wait a minute, this has got to be a misprint, right? They've got this wrong. Virginia's probably up 20. No. I mean, so the way they got dominated, and again, great for UMBC. I love to see that. But just the way Virginia just fell apart and didn't compete. And the same thing with North Carolina yesterday. Talking about a couple ACC teams that were, you know, picked to probably go to the Final Four, you know, a number one, number two seed. They just got hammered by A&M. They got hammered by their size. But as Roy Williams said yesterday, he did not like the body language on his guys, did not like the fight. They had no fight in them whatsoever. If you look at Roy Williams compared to the rest of that bench and the guys are on the floor, it was totally different. Williams was just, he was trying everything he could to get something out of these guys, but they didn't show up. And how do you not show up and be prepared for a fight against Texas A&M when you're supposed to be battle-tested night in and night out in the best conference in all of basketball?
And you're the defending national champions.
Correct.
On top of that.
And you have veterans on this team.
Yeah. You know what, though? I think, to me, the most disappointing thing about the entire first weekend is how the brackets opened up for the two schools that I despise the most in all of college basketball, Kentucky and Duke. Because Syracuse, who I don't care how many games they've won, did not belong in the NCAA tournament. It's an accomplishment that they won games. Doesn't change the fact that they had zero business being in the NCAA tournament. And then Kentucky. Arizona gets annihilated by Buffalo. Then UMBC goes and beats Virginia. So now all of a sudden Kentucky has a path to the Elite Eight where they will likely play, or where they will play, either Loyola of Chicago
or Nevada.
Or the truck stop.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I will say this. I think the truck stop has a very good chance to win these next two games.
Well, they do. Because
here's the thing. Jordan Caroline did not play well
Well, here,
in either of those first two games.
Let's clear this up. If you want to talk about the truck stop, you want to talk about UNR, Nevada,
Community
whatever,
College
you, want to,
of Reno,
whatever
yeah.
you want to call them, okay? Because there are a lot of people around here that think Nevada is great because they are the best of the lowly Mountain West Conference, plain and simple. But like I said at the top of the show, badly outplayed for probably 60 of the 85 minutes in their two games. They were a lower seed. A lot of people thought Joe Lenard that it'd be a 10 or 11 seed. Okay, they got lucky with a 7 seed. And they had no business winning the Texas game. But because of Texas,
well, Texas
who they are.
Texas played stupid.
They played stupid. They lost a 14-point lead. And then Cincinnati thoroughly dominated them, leading by 22 points with 11 minutes to go to choke that game away. But here's the thing about Nevada that people don't understand. They want to rave about Musselman being a great coach. Musselman is a very good recruiter. He's got that NBA background with his dad, spending all that time in the NBA. I get that. But when you look at what he runs offensively, it's absolutely nothing. He recruits these kids, and here's his sales pitch, and he openly admits this. And the kids say the exact same thing. You want to come to Nevada with very loose structure. You want to be able to put up a lot of shots and have a free-flowing offense where you're going to basically get to dictate what we do. We don't run a whole bunch of set plays, a whole bunch of set offenses. It's your chance to run the floor. So it's a great recruiting pitch, but those type of teams do not do well in the NCAA tournament. And the only reason Nevada has gotten to these two victories because, they, as you said, they played two stupid teams. You cannot continue to advance without a structured offense, relying heavily on the three, relying on individual athleticism. And that's what got them behind in these games. That's what got them blown out against San Diego State.
Yeah, that was ugly against San Diego State.
But do you understand what I'm saying? This is not a great team. So for people to think that UNR is this great team, they are not a great team, and they have been exposed. They will be exposed at some point in time. Now, will Loyola be the team that exposed them? They couldn't. I'll tell you why. Porter Moser is a fantastic coach. I got a chance to see him a lot back when I was in Green Bay because Loyola was in the Horizon League at that point in time and now moved up to the Missouri Valley Conference. But that guy was a very sought-after head coach, and the stuff that he runs and how he prepares is night and day difference from what Musselman does with Nevada.
Well, so that conference, just, you know, the Horizon League, there's been some really good coaches that have come.
Oh,
Greg
yeah.
Campy at Oakland. The guy who was at Wisconsin, Green Bay for a while, was a good coach.
Right.
Well,
Todd Kowalczyk left there. He's at Toledo right now.
The guy
he's
who,
been doing great.
Obviously, you know, the
well, Bill Ryan was at Milwaukee. Remember
yeah,
that?
Well, Bruce Pearl was at Milwaukee as well.
Absolutely.
You know, and obviously Brad Stevens at Butler.
Exactly.
I can't remember the name who took after him, but Brad Stevens took over for the guy who went to Iowa. Was it Licklider? Was that his name?
Right.
Another
right.
good coach.
Absolutely correct. And Holtman took over. And Holtman went to Ohio State.
And was it Perry Watson? Was that Detroit?
Absolutely correct.
That was years ago.
For many years, yeah.
You know, before he went over, where did he go? He was part of the Michigan staff, and then he went
yes,
to Detroit.
Yeah. Correct.
So some really good coaches have come out of the Horizon League. That's a league that's always been very underrated in my book because of the quality of coaches. But I think luck will run out for them, and because, you know what, they've hit two shots to win basically at the buzzer in both of their games.
But here's the thing with Loyola, though. They have played well the course of the game.
They've been good all season.
Exactly. And it's not like Loyola just led at the end of the game like UNR. That's not the case. Loyola was leading for a good amount of their last ball game.
I could also flip it and say that Reno has not played a good game and still has found ways to win and advance.
You can make that argument.
And
no
I
question.
Think, you know, with 4 or 5 days to prepare for Loyola. I think Musselman is a good coach. I like what he does, and I think the Martin twins, along with Jordan Caroline, I think they'll be too much. I think now is when Cinderella starts to lose her slipper. You know, yeah, you get the George Masons, Virginia Commonwealths, but generally these double-digit seeds, this is the weekend where or this is the time when,
right?
Yeah, it's great. You made a nice run, but this is the time when they get exposed for being
right. I agree with that. But there is no, if anything, Loyola could be considered a better team.
Well, they were underseeded, clearly underseeded.
Than Nevada. So it's not like Nevada's going to come in as a huge favorite. They're going to be a 2-point favorite here, and that's probably just going to be on name recognition alone. But if you watch Loyola during the course of the year and see what they run and the athletes that they have, This is going to be a good game, so you can't sleep on them. Surprise me if they win this game.
They were clearly underseeded because, I mean, what was the spread of the Miami game? It was only, you know, a couple points. It's not like Miami was a heavy favorite over them.
Right.
And, you know, I thought Miami, well-coached team, good program. Jim Larrañaga does a good job there. I thought they got a bad draw because I had Loyola winning that game on almost every bracket I did. You know, and I know there were a lot of other people who know the game pretty well who also liked Loyola to win that game. So, you know, it's going to be a good game. I mean, I'm looking forward to that because I know one of these two teams is going to the Elite Eight. I'll be rooting hard for Kansas State. And then the third program that I despise the most, Syracuse or Duke are going to the Elite Eight, and it makes me sick. Because
you got to quit hating on Duke, okay?
Well,
they have a fantastic program.
That's great. They're still Duke. And
there you go. I mean,
but I will hate them for eternity.
You don't need to hate anybody, okay?
But, you know, I just want to say, Michigan State, could you make a basket?
Oh, okay.
I mean, how pathetic was that? And I love Tom Izzo. I love the coaching job that he does year in, year out. But at some point, look, he does well, but he underachieves an awful lot at Michigan State. And maybe it's just me. Maybe he doesn't get great players. And maybe that's why. But the guy's in the top five every year. He's got one national title.
No, this is a program that has underachieved a lot, especially the last 2 years. You know, they haven't made it past the Sweet 16 the last 2 years. Well, they got eliminated in this game.
Well,
same thing happened last year.
They lost as a 2 seed 3 years ago.
Middle Tennessee State?
You know, what? And that's
2-15?
Yeah, I mean, it's like at some point, Michigan State win a national title because, you know, you're highly rated year in, year out, top five program every single year. And like you said,
and they win the Big Ten regular season title.
Yeah, I mean, they looked, you know, they struggled against Bucknell, but you know what? I credit Bucknell because Bucknell is one of those teams, year in, year out, they give everybody trouble. You know, that's what they do. They've won games in the NCAA tournament. They beat Kansas, I guess, about 10 years ago. But year in, year out, Michigan State just underachieves. And yesterday, come on.
Listen, three teams.
Make a basket. Would they go over 13?
Exactly. Yeah, over 13.
Down the stretch.
North Carolina was pathetic, couldn't throw it in from the ocean.
Blown out.
1-for-19 at one point in time from three.
You would have thought A&M played UMBC yesterday.
But Cincinnati choked it up big time yesterday. Michigan State, that you just mentioned, and Xavier. Those three teams, you know what those three teams did yesterday that I saw specifically in that Xavier game and Cincinnati game? Those kids played scared. They played scared. And for a number one overall seed, not overall, but for a number one seed to play number two, Cincinnati, number three, all 1, 2, and 3 seeds to play scared in the last few minutes of a game, inexcusable.
Yeah.
Especially when you come from great conferences. Xavier playing out of the Big East. Michigan State playing out of the Big Ten. Cincinnati playing in the American Athletic, battle-tested with Houston and Wichita State. Those three teams, the way they played in the waning moments of those games, shot themselves in the foot, gave themselves no opportunity to win in advance because they played tense, they played scared, and that's what I don't understand. And got to remember, these are 18, 19-year-old kids for the most part, and that's why these things happen. That's why. When you get behind and you don't know how to battle back, you face a little adversity with all the bright lights on you, and basically you're on a neutral court, and now all of a sudden if you're a favorite and you've got neutral fans who are sitting there really don't have a dog in the fight, they're going to root for that underdog to come back, and you fall apart. That's exactly what happened in those three games yesterday.
Well, and that's the thing. You know, Michigan State was playing in Detroit. You know, you could say neutral court. That's a home game for them. Playing in Detroit.
Yeah, but did you hear the crowd? If you heard the crowd the last 5 or 6 minutes, it didn't sound anything like they were at Breslin Center.
Well, of course, because you have the fans from the other game that was in Detroit yesterday who stick around. What was it, Purdue? Purdue fans aren't going to...
They're rooting against Michigan
State. Absolutely they are.
Yeah.
You know, they're not these SEC football honks who chant SEC. The Big Ten... They hate their rivals.
Well think about
it. They're not chanting Big Ten,
no,
Big Ten.
Because when you're in a tournament, you get rid of your nemesis. That's an easier path for you.
Well, Purdue's not playing Michigan State unless they made the Final Four. But
that's the point, though.
But the thing is...
You could run into
it. It's not the SEC in college football where they get this mentality that, oh, because Alabama's good, that means Tennessee's good, which is garbage.
No, football's totally different than NCAA tournament because you could come up against these guys.
I'm not rooting for Reno. I want Reno to lose. But I will say, they're watching them is exciting. Watching them make the run is exciting. And if they lose to Loyola, then they lose to Loyola. If they beat Loyola, it's good for the Mountain West, but I'm not rooting for it to happen.
When you watch that game coming up on Thursday, just watch the two offenses, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Nevada is, they are a hard team to watch. They're, just like when they beat UNLV, when they connected on all those threes, and they obliterated UNLV by, what, 26 or whatever it was? They had to shoot lights out from three because they're not running anything. It is just sheer athleticism, and when they're hot, they're hot, and that's what happened against Texas. That's what happened against yesterday. And again, I'm not, you know, wishing any ill will towards them, but they're a hard team to watch, and their day is going to come where they're going to get beat down again like they did this year.
That,
USF beat them this year. Remember that?
I do remember
USF.
That. Thanksgiving weekend, yeah.
And do you know why USF beat them? Because they caught him in all kinds of back doors. They hit all kinds of threes. Cartwright will tell you that. I mean, Nevada is a very frustrating team
but
to watch.
But here's the thing. You have to be a good coach in order to make that work. Because
he gets no credit. If you watch that game yesterday, what was he doing? He was cheerleading with two, three. Seriously, he wasn't calling timeouts and writing anything up, Chris.
How many coaches do we see try to run that style and they fail? We saw it here for 5 years.
And you know what also worked against him? Did you see Mick Cronin yelling at his own guys?
Oh, I watched him flip out when the guy picked up the fifth foul.
Exactly.
Yeah, he exploded.
And did you see the rest of the bench at that point in time? They're going, oh my gosh. Oh, we're feeling this pressure. We're feeling this tension now. That works against your team
but maybe, you know, with Musselman, the kids want to play for him. They play hard for him.
Of course, because he rolls out the balls. And that's why they like it.
But that's the thing. You can't just roll out the ball and win games. He's rolling out the ball, but these guys are winning games.
They won two games, okay, especially against Texas, who you talk about a team that didn't deserve to be there.
Texas was stupid.
And Cincinnati, you fell behind 22 points and Cincinnati choked. I'll give some of the credit, no doubt, to Nevada. I will give them some credit.
You got to give them all the credit because, look, if you're down 22 points, there's two things that happen.
You didn't play a good game if you're down 22 points.
But that's the thing.
You played horrible for 35 minutes.
I can't believe
horrible.
I'm defending Reno.
Exactly.
What are you doing to me? But credit to them. They were down 22. They came back and won the game. Look, like I said, they haven't played good in either game, yet they beat Shaka Smart and Mo Bamba in Texas. Mo Bamba's probably going to be a top five pick.
But Texas is terrible. You know that.
They're stupid. They're a dumb team. That's why they lost.
They barely got in the tournament.
But they were dumb.
Exactly. And so was Cincinnati.
You don't have some
of the blame on Cincinnati.
You don't have a 65% free throw shooter on the floor with the ball in his hands in the final 15 seconds of a game. But Reno found a way to win yesterday, down 22.
Honestly, how much of that was self-inflicted by Cincinnati? Give me a percentage. Seriously, when you really analyze, if you watch the game,
how much was
self-inflicted?
It could be 100%. It doesn't change the fact that Reno came back and won that game.
They won the game.
Because you know what?
Don't tell me they played well.
I never said they played well for the last five minutes.
They played
what
well.
What I said was they played. They won the game.
Imploded.
That's fine.
Okay.
But credit them for taking advantage of a team imploding. Look, I could shoot myself and not kill myself, right? But if you come
Monty Python, Twit of the Year.
Yes. Yes. But
thank you very much.
What are we doing, Beth?
But you know, exactly.
As much as it's self-inflicted, if you don't take advantage of that.
Right, correct.
You know, and that's all I'm trying to say. Look, Reno hasn't played good in either game. They're one win away from the Elite Eight.
And they still had to make shots to win that game.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
They did.
Yeah, I mean,
no doubt.
For as bad as Cincinnati may have played down the stretch, look, Syracuse was terrible, but Michigan didn't help them out. You know, Michigan was garbage down the stretch, or Michigan State was garbage down the stretch.
All right.
Syracuse took advantage.
Great banter. We will continue this on the other side of the break. Matthew Holt will join us, give us his thoughts from CG Technology, and tell us who the winners and the losers were at the betting window yesterday. We'll talk about some crazy bets that were placed, too, over the weekend. That and a whole lot more coming your way. TC Martin Show right here, Fox Sports Radio. All right, glad to have you here on a Monday afternoon. We get to reset a little bit, take a deep breath, and get ready to do it all over again as the Sweet 16 will commence on Thursday. And join us now, Matthew Holt from CG Technology. Matt, wow, I don't even know where to begin with this thing here because this madness is just simply maddening to me. Have you seen anything like it?
I will say this. I don't think the books have had a better first 4 days of March Madness since I've been in the business 15 years.
Yeah, and I figured that as well, too, because yesterday, underdogs went 7-1, 7 out of the 8 games, 4 of those won outright. So anytime underdogs are winning, that is a good thing for the books.
And the books are catching every break. Look, some of the worst situations for the books in some of these games is the underdog actually winning the game. And think that was the case with the Houston game, too. Michigan covering the spread would have been bad. Houston winning outright and getting the money line would have been bad. What happens? Houston misses 2 more free throws down the end. Michigan hits a miracle 3 to win the game but not cover. Just everything has gone right for the books and against the bettors these first 4 days.
Unbelievable. Matthew Holt from CG Technology join us. Matt, is this actually good for betting when you have some of these popular teams that get ousted early, like we have with North Carolina and Michigan State and Virginia, then a top seed like Xavier? But some of those blue blood fan bases, you know, when their teams get ousted early, sometimes they said, okay, we're not going to watch. So it could affect TV ratings. But from a betting perspective, you get these guys too. It's like, hey, you know, I'm not interested anymore, or I blew my wad and I'm out.
Yeah, first of all, I think a lot of people lost a lot of money the first 4 days, so I'm not sure how much we're going to do. And to your point, look, the problem has always been it's okay to have one of those big blue bloods against one of these surprise Cinderellas, but when you have Cinderella versus Cinderella, it doesn't seem like the dance is as exciting. And that's going to be the case with a couple of these games this weekend. Loyola Chicago versus Nevada, nobody certainly expected either one of those to be there. Kansas State, Kentucky, plus a banged-up Kansas State team. I mean, at least you have Kentucky in there. But it'll be interesting to see our people coming out to bet Loyola, Chicago, Nevada.
Let's talk about some of these games that were very good for the books where the public did lose. What were some of those top-heavy games that just saw you guys rake up?
Well, let's start right off with that first day on that Thursday. I mean, the most heavily wagered on game of the day, one of only 2 teams in the entire futures market that we lose money to, the Arizona Wildcats, not only going down but getting absolutely whipped by Buffalo in a game that was basically a pick 'em at halftime, tie game. All of a sudden, Arizona comes out and gets throttled in the second half. That was a huge swing game, at least $500,000 swing game for us. On Thursday, carried right over into Friday, and then this past week, I mean yesterday, Xavier, North Carolina, Michigan State, all going down. That kills, between those three losing, just about every parlay yesterday included one of those three, so just a monster day for the books.
Let's talk about some of the larger bets that you guys took, whether for the good or for the bad. People always like to know about this, especially when it comes Super Bowl time, playoffs, and, of course, March Madness. We always hear about these six-figure bets. What did you guys take?
Yeah, we took a few. Unfortunately, they were, for the bettors, they were mostly on money lines. We took a multiple six-figure bet on Arizona money line. We had a multiple six-figure bet on North Carolina versus Texas A&M. We had someone that risked $300,000 money line on Wichita State versus Marshall, and then another one yesterday, Cincinnati versus Nevada, in a game where, I mean, they were up 20 in the second half and blew that lead. Just mind-boggling. Interestingly enough, we did, I think, take the biggest bet on University of Maryland, Baltimore County, the first and only number 16 seed to ever beat a number 1 seed. $800 bet at 20-1, paid $16,000 for that lucky better.
What kind of guy is going to bet a money line on arguably the 68th team in the tournament going against the number 1 team on the money line? It had to be an alum or something like that, because I can understand, okay, hey, I want to try to catch, you know, 20-plus points, but for an outright winner, are you kidding me?
You know, and I guarantee you this, and I can tell you this being on this side of the counter long enough, all of those huge underdogs get bet money line all the time. Not always as high as $800, but you constantly have people walking up to the window throwing $20, $50, $100 at those just because that's what March Madness is all about to a lot of people. You have so many people that don't understand, you know, the odds and trends that they're trying to buck by getting those bets home.
Maybe they just like the picture of the dog. They like the retriever, right? And I'm sure you get some of those bets as well, too, right?
We get so many of those bets. March Madness does 4 to 5 times more handle than the Super Bowl. And just like the Super Bowl, you have so many people coming out making bets on college basketball that have not made a bet the entire college basketball regular season that's their bets. March Madness is their college betting for the entire year.
How did the handle stack up compared to last year or years in the past after the first two rounds?
Handle is great. You know, people talk about parity in college basketball and what it does, and maybe that potentially we had unattractive number one seeds this year, or Xavier may not have the history or fan base as some of the blue bloods. Virginia, even in the ACC, doesn't always have the history of success in the tournament that some of the other blue bloods do. But the handle's been phenomenal. I thought we had some really exciting matchups. The interest is certainly growing and not decreasing in March Madness.
What are some of the craziest bets that you guys took this? I understand there was some money line wagers for guys that, bet a whole bunch to win a very little that didn't work out so well. Any crazy bets that you kind of shake your head at and say, I don't know what this guy's thinking?
You know, we took a bunch of bets on, I'm trying to remember who it was the first day of the tour or the second day of the tournament. Because we do highest scoring player every day, and we had taken a bunch of money on somebody that had 27 points early, and they ended up, Houston's Rob Gray ended up having the most points that Friday. But I forget who had a bunch early, and I went, oh man, I think it was Mikhail Bridges or one of the Villanova guys, and then of course Houston's Rob Gray got it. But those are the kind of bets that can hurt a book when you're taking odds at 30 or 40 to 1 and you start getting a bunch of compounded dollars wagered in there. That's where you can kind of get hurt a little bit.
How much serious action do you see on some of these in-game wagers? For example, Cincinnati being a huge plus, Nevada being huge plus money when they're down by 22 points, and then somebody, betting a few $1,000 at plus 14 or plus 1,500 in return.
You know what's interesting about that game is the in-game reaches a certain point in the second half, and it's normally like 20 points with 10 minutes to go where the money line shuts off because the odds are actually so insurmountable to come back. And that was the case in that game, is I believe Cincinnati was up 22 with 9 minutes to play. And at that point, a team that's that good and that favored in the game, up 22 with 9 to play, the money line would be so insurmountable, it would be so big, it would be like $500 to make a dollar, that they don't even offer it anymore. They just offer a spread. And thus, I think at some point that money line shut off, and then, of course, it comes back on later. But I'll tell you, a lot of people weren't backing Nevada. To your point, normally people will take those $10, $20, $50 shots on the underdog at big odds in-game. We didn't see it in that game.
Matthew Holt from CG Technology joining us. Sweet 16 starts Thursday. We have two number 11 seeds, two number 9s, two 7s, three 5s, 1-4, 2-3s, 2-2s, and 2-1s. Pretty crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. But we still actually have some decent matchups on both days, thankfully. And I think it comes right out of the gate on Thursday, where we have a really athletic and long Florida State team taking on Gonzaga. Granted, Florida State wasn't supposed to be here. A lot of people probably don't know him. But Terrence Mann, there are some question marks about his availability. He's able to play. That's big. And, look, they haven't had the best history of success in the NCAA tournament, but that certainly is a matchup where they could win. In Texas A&M, Michigan, same thing. Michigan's so well coached. They shoot the ball so well. But on the other side, Texas A&M with Williams and Davis in the paint, if not the best front court, one of the best front courts in the entire country in Texas A&M. Be interesting to see how that matchup plays out. And then on Friday, at least we get some recognizable names. Duke versus Syracuse, two names that we're used to seeing. Villanova, West Virginia, and probably the best matchup of the Sweet 16, Texas Tech taking on a Purdue team without their center, Isaac Haas.
That's right. Very rare number 2 and number 3 seed. We usually see that in the Sweet 16 in these regions, and we've got only one of those games. We do got a 1-5 with Villanova and West Virginia, and then Kansas and Clemson, like you said. But we got one of the rare ones, a 7 seed in Nevada taking on 11 seeded Loyola. And I know that Nevada's probably a slight favorite in this game, but as I was just telling Magnum, watch out for Loyola. I mean, this could be one heck of a game. It's crazy to think that one of these teams could be advancing to the Elite Eight and maybe even the Final Four.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, not surprisingly right now, our lowest handle game of the Sweet 16 is Loyola Chicago Nevada. And I think a lot of people talked about Loyola in the first round. They were no secret. They were actually taken at a huge percentage and were almost to pick them against Miami, Florida. So that first round upset wasn't that monumental. The Tennessee upset was a little bit more surprising than the Miami upset. And of course, they had to get there right at the very end in both games, and Nevada having to make big comebacks in both of their games. You're right. I think this truly is a coin flip game, and the line is fairly reflective of that, with Nevada only a 2-point favorite, even 1.5 at some of the other shops.
We'll be breaking down these games with Matt a little bit later in the week, Wednesday and Thursday, as we get ready, and we'll go into more detail. But early action so far, Matt, when you put these lines up late yesterday, who's seen some early action?
Biggest liability so far in the Sweet 16, not surprisingly, the Kentucky Wildcats. Look, we know that they're going to get 7 or 8 NBA-talented freshmen every single year. Some years it takes a little longer for those NBA-level freshmen to develop continuity than others. This is one of those years where they didn't quite gel out of the gate, but Coach Cal, as he always does in March, has this team playing their best basketball. And now they almost have a clear path to the Final Four, and a lot of people suddenly showing a lot of love for Kentucky. They're the number one liability. Number two liability, surprisingly right now, the Texas Tech Red Raiders. This is a game where I actually thought we might get some Purdue action. I actually thought there was some value in betting Purdue against Butler yesterday, and they had the lead, 8-point lead with the under 4 timeout, ended up missing some free throws at the end and only winning by 3. Failing to cover that spread by a half a point or a point. But it's going to be interesting to see what happens with no Haas in the middle. Is Keenan Evans able to get to the hole? Is that Texas Tech defense a little too much for Edwards and Edwards there? Texas Tech, the number two liability, and the number three liability, no surprise, the Kansas Jayhawks, as Clemson has failed to get love this entire tournament. One of the rare underdogs they bet in round one was New Mexico State, where we actually won. With the favorite covering, they failed to bet Clemson again against Auburn, and they don't like Clemson here either, betting the Kansas Jayhawks.
Duke taking on Syracuse. Syracuse has actually won 3 games so far in the tournament with that play-in game. We've seen this happen before with Syracuse. Very tough matchup for a lot of teams, but Duke is very familiar with Syracuse, hence I believe that's why this is one of the largest spreads, and it's a double-digit spread, and that may come to quite a surprise to a lot of people, but probably deservedly so, don't you think?
Yeah, opened 11.5, down to 11. Not surprisingly, we took some Syracuse action early, both over-the-counter and on account from some sharper players, as that is a big number for a team that plays the style Syracuse does. Me, personally, I'd be a little hesitant to jump in front of Duke right now because they're the one team in this tournament that's left that can certainly shoot over that zone.
Absolutely correct. And again, these guys very familiar with each other in the ACC. Matt, appreciate the time as always, my friend. And any early betting action so far? Do you guys have the women's tournament up? Because I just was curious if you put a lineup on UConn against Quinnipiac tonight and if the line was anything like 78 or 80.
Hold on, I'll tell you what the line is for that game right now. It already started. It's 9-4 Connecticut right now, but the closing number on Connecticut versus Quinnipiac, 39.5.
39, as it could be a bargain considering what UConn did, winning by what, 80 points in the opener?
Yeah, it could be.
That's funny. All right, Matt, hey, we appreciate it. We'll talk to you later in the week, my friend.
Thanks, TC. Best of luck, my friend. Take care.
All right, there is Matthew Holt, VP over at CG Technology. And just a great time that we had at the Cosmopolitan, of course, doing our betting seminar last Wednesday and then being over there for the opening round games on Thursday, Friday, over there over the weekend as well, too, with the Hoops and Hops. Fantastic job by Brian Benowitz, the crew at the Cosmopolitan. If you were over there and you saw us, oh my goodness, all the food, all the drink that you can muster, plus all of those great games on those 22-foot screens. That's right, 22-foot screens. It was an amazing atmosphere at the Cosmopolitan, so congratulations to them and our good friends at CG Technology who handle all of the sports betting action at all of those books. And Magnum was beautiful because you had the betting stations right there inside the ballroom, 10 betting stations, and to see once a game was over, when we were broadcasting the show on Friday, the moment the Nevada-Texas game was over, it was like a horse race. And there they go. They all ran out of the room quickly to the betting stations to get action on the next game.
Why don't those people just smarten up and get the mobile app.
Right.
On the phone.
Because a lot of them are tourists. They come from out of town, and they're not aware of it.
Yeah, but
and it's
advertised everywhere.
I know.
And as long as you're within the state of Nevada, you can do it. Now, if you're out of the state, it's not going to work.
Right.
But I mean, this way, there's no hurry. Like, when I go to the book, I go to the CG book. I just bet right from my phone, from my chair. I don't even have to get up.
There you go. That's the perfect commercial right there.
I have the young lady bring me an adult beverage, usually a rum and Coke. And
I figured you was more of a Mai Tai guy.
Oh, I do like Mai Tais, yeah. But no, I'm more of a rum and Coke guy. Can't get my rum in the States, but I like Tandoi. That's my rum. But I'm a rum and Coke guy. And you know what? I don't get up. I don't have to rush. I don't have to beat anything. I mean, there's a good chance if a lot of people are betting the same game.
Yeah.
I'm getting a better number than them because I don't have to.
You just put your feet up, have a sip, and casually just use your phone and get your wager in.
Smoke one of the cigars Cartwright gave me and, and enjoy life.
There you go. But you got to wear the USF shirt while you're while you're having the cigar.
I was going to wear it today. I can't wear it tomorrow because I won't see it tomorrow, but maybe I'll rock it Wednesday. I looked at it. I was like, you know what? I haven't worn it yet.
There you go.
Yeah.
Well, as the weather gets a little warmer.
Yes.
There
you go. Because, I've been wearing sweatshirts and jackets and stuff, but. You know, today 60 degrees. Maybe tomorrow, Wednesday, a little warmer.
It'd be a lot better than what you have on today. You go from USF to Goonies.
Goonies, fantastic movie. Come on,
Captain Lou Albano. There you go.
No, he was in the Cyndi Lauper video for Goonies. He was not in the movie.
That's true. That's what I always think of. All right, we come back. We'll take a look at more action coming your way. NCAA tournament. TC Martin Show right here on Fox. We mentioned the CG Technology mobile app. It is betting made easy, and they have a special going on for the rest of the tournament. It's a $68 bonus if you do not have the CG Technology mobile app yet. First-timers get a $68 bonus. It's a matching bonus, so if you put at least $68 into your account, they're going to match it for another $68. So it's free money to play with. You can't beat it. It is real simple. If you don't know how to do it, it's simple. You just go over to one of the CG Technology sportsbooks located at one of their properties. That is the M Resort, the Silverton, the Palms, the Venetian Palazzo, the Hard Rock, the Tropicana, or the Cosmopolitan. Go get a rewards card. Take that over to the sportsbook. Go to the book. Say, I want to get signed up for the app. Literally, it takes you about 5 minutes to get all signed up, and you'll get that bonus. So take advantage of it. If someone is going to give you free money to wager with, go do it. It is that simple. And like Magnum said, you're betting from where you watch the games, using your cell phone, forget standing in line. That's how you bet. CG Technology mobile app, betting made easy. All right, Golden Knights finally got off the schneid, so to speak, yesterday. Figured they were going to come back. Little players only, gathering the day before. They win, 4-0 yesterday over Calgary. Back in action tomorrow night, another home game against Vancouver.
Yeah, home game's winding down. I mean, there's only five left, believe it or not. I mean, season has flown by. They're home tomorrow against Vancouver. I figure that should be a game they will win because Vancouver's terrible, first of all. Best player, Brock Besser, he is out, will not play. So, for Vegas, that's where they should win. They should get to cut the magic number to 6 to officially make the playoffs.
Exactly.
And, they're going to finish with over 100 points, which is pretty amazing. Considering they're an expansion franchise. No, obviously, we've never seen anything like this before, but they played really well in the second period yesterday. I mean, the first period, they looked a little, out of sync a little bit, but Ryan Reeves delivered a huge hit, and that really, the thing is, you could tell. It electrified the crowd, and the players and the Golden Knights, they really played off of that. It jolted them, and some of the guys in the locker room definitely talked about the fact that the Reeves hit certainly invigorated them. And William Karlsson gets the hat trick, second of the year. Funny thing is, I said to Karlsson, I said, hey, next time you do this, you got to do it on the road because the fans are throwing their $30 hats on the ice. And he started laughing, and he's like, yeah, I guess I'm gonna have to try to do that. I'll see what I can do about that. But Yeah, it was a great game yesterday.
All right, Golden Knights in action tomorrow night. And, of course, if you don't go to T-Mobile, you can listen to it right here, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM. Face-off, 7 o'clock, pregame show with Clayton Hamilton, Frank Harnisch, coming your way at 6:30 right here. So talk a little bit more about that tomorrow. Tomorrow, of course, a terrible Tuesday edition. You know what that means? Yes, we get to vent our frustrations in the sporting world. And also, Steve Lapus scheduled to join us tomorrow, of course, the former coach at Villanova and UMass. We talked to him last week, and he was actually on the call for two of those big upsets yesterday. He was in the building calling them, the Nevada upset over Cincinnati, where they overcame a 22-point deficit with 11 minutes to go, and then the nightcap there in Nashville, where Florida State came storming back after being down 12 with 7 minutes to go, knocking off the number one seed Xavier. So look forward to talking to Coach Lapus again tomorrow. Always good talking with him, a good friend of the program. I want to thank Matthew Holt from CG Technology for joining us today, giving us the best of the weekend. And it was a good weekend for the books, as it turned out. Again, underdogs go 7-1 yesterday, 4 outright winners, upsets galore. Yes, the madness is simply maddening. Hopefully your bracket sheet is surviving. All right, we'll be analyzing the Sweet 16 matchups. 8 great games coming your way on Thursday and Friday in the next couple days, so stay tuned for all of that. If you miss any part of this show, go to the website, tcmartinshow.com. Follow us on Twitter at tcmartin21. My man, JT the Brick, coming up next. Don't you dare go anywhere, right here on Fox Sports Radio.